From Bravery Media, this is Appendix B. My name is Joel Goodman. With me is Kristen Van Dorn. So we were talking about the model that exists for maintaining and running websites in higher ed and how it isn't really fit to purpose. It's kind of old school. It's kind of all internal. I want to talk about what the makeup of an ideal team. So like, let's imagine we're one of those mega universities or big state schools that can afford to have a team in-house. What I'm going to lay out here like is not exactly what you'll see at all of those schools. Some of those schools have like double the positions in some of these places. But if you as a small or medium-sized institution recognized that you need to compete in this arena and you wanted to hire a fit-to-purpose web team that was going to operate at a product level, at a minimum, I think you would need one, someone in a director role that does web strategy just in general. You might have that person already, actually. You know, that could also be part of what a marketing director in general does, right? Second, you probably need like a strategist, like a normal digital marketing strategist. So even if you had someone that was kind of part-time in that director level, have someone that focuses just on strategy, that's looking at all the data, that's thinking about what the next thing is. Then you're going to need a product manager or product owner, someone that's thinking about how all of that strategy gets realized on the web. Someone that has some technical ability, but also understands how people are going to interact with websites, what's going to make sense, what's going to get you to your goals. Then you need content strategists, and you probably need two of them because there is a whole lot of content on higher ed websites, and they need to not just be responding to your faculty requests for updates or staff requests for updates, right?
Right.
Next, you probably need a web designer that also has a UX research background. And this is lean and mean, right? I mean, ideally, you would have a UX person that's a UX researcher and strategist and UX designer. And then you would have a web designer that's doing your UI front end type of design. And then you need a front end developer to make all that stuff happen in HTML and CSS and whatever else. And then you probably need a back end developer to manage your CMS or whatever your technical platform is. And then if you really want to have a go at this, you're going to need a data analytics person who is managing, looking at all of your data analytics, is choosing the products, is monitoring them, is monitoring goals and conversions and making sure all of that is hitting where it needs to. And then you're probably going to need someone that produces digital media. It's going to be a video person, video, audio, photographer. Ideally, you wouldn't just have one of those, but most schools do just have one. But you're going to need someone that's doing production work there. And then you probably need an accessibility engineer unless you've magically found someone in the rest of that stack that does accessibility. By our calculations, looking at competitive salary, and we know that higher ed doesn't actually pay competitive salary, but looking at median salary data from 2023, all of that adds up to just under $1 million a year in staffing, in staffing costs alone. And that's not including benefits. That's not including subscriptions to software. That's not including the hardware and machinery you need to buy for them, different computers, all that technology stuff. This is literally just salaries for that team.
Yeah, salaries without fringe. And then you're also looking at products that you would, like you mentioned, subscriptions, but accessibility monitoring, UX tools and subscriptions, an SEO service, maybe a content governance service. And on top of that, when you look at that broad range of staff members that you'd need to have, you also are going to have to supply them with professional development because their skills will quickly atrophy. They will go out of date. You won't get the same effectiveness from them year three as you will year one if you don't help them maintain their skills. Like, ideally, we all want the magical unicorn that updates their own skill sets outside of work time just because they're passionate about their industry. Yeah. But the truth is, we all have lives and we don't want to be managing our own professional development all the time exclusively by ourselves in our weekends, right, and evenings. So yeah, totally. This is just a huge expense for universities to take on to do this really well.
It's gigantic. And I think the thing that jumps out to me within this is that none of these, except maybe content strategists, are necessary in-house at an institution. And I think you could even argue that you don't need content strategists in-house at an institution either. I think it's helpful. And I think they're good for marketing. But all the rest of this stuff can be backfilled by an agency partnership or similar, you know? And yeah, it's self-serving, like, cool, we want people to work with us. But also it's not, like, I think realities of like where money gets spent in higher ed point towards someone needing to change the model and be smarter about it, because you can't afford that $1 million in staffing, you know, plus everything else that goes into it. Like, what are you going to do? Just like try to accomplish all of these big aspirational goals that the new president has when they come in with a team that is 1/8 or 1/10 of this number of people? Even unicorns can't do all of this work well. And it means that there aren't many institutions in the US especially that are able to compete. And you can't even start to think in a product mentality because everyone's so underwater with the amount of work that's going on.
Yeah. I mean, Joel, I know you've seen this on resumes. I have too, where people apply as a jack of all trades or a Jill of all trades. And I know that sounds attractive to hire that way, but remember that that comes from a phrase where the second half is master of none. Like, you're not going to get someone that is an equal expert in all of these different fields to be able to produce the kind of work you need to have in order to stay competitive. If you are putting all of your eggs into a handful of positions and you're expecting maybe one person to do your production, your media production, and your Google Analytics and your SEO monitoring and your backend development or your front end design, like, those things require different skill sets. They require different habits of mind. They require different training. They require different professional development, different communities of practice to maintain your skills. And yeah, just trying to shove it all into one person to do all of that work, you're going to burn them out and they're going to leave. You're going to have this revolving door of hires to try to fill everything that you need, only to wear away at your institutional brand, your students, and your community trust in the brand that you have. Like, it's just not a strategy that's practical.
It's not. And on top of that, the output's not going to be up to your standard, right? It's not going to be actually bringing in new students. You're not going to have that return on investment that you expect from having that person in-house, especially for institutions that have positions that are open right now. My recommendation is, like, reassess, like, look at that position that's open that you haven't been able to fill for the last 4 or 5 months, or that you've had applicants for and they're just not really up to what you need them to be. Reassess and talk to your CFO and try to get that money back into your web budget so that you can work with someone that can start doing stuff now. Because I think that's the biggest difference, is that we, higher ed, is willing to wait months and months and months and months and months because we usually don't see the results of our poor decisions until 2 or 3 years down the line, right? And then we're seeing that right now with a demographic cliff coming up, with the FAFSA stuff. Like, we just delay and defer those consequences for years. And we're going to see the effects of this. We're already, like, the effects we're seeing now are due to the pandemic. Like, you can just go back and you can follow this. Get that money and put it to use now so that you are being strategic about what you're doing. And maybe you'll get to the point where you've got enough revenue coming in, you've grown enough that it makes sense to build that team in-house. But until you do, the money should be working for you, not sitting in a budget waiting for someone to fill a role and hoping that they're going to be good enough.
And there's a lot of human resource cost to keeping a position open, to going through the process of developing a search, to interviewing. And we know that that process yields mixed results, because determining whether someone is a good fit based on a series of interviews hasn't proven to be effective. We know that from Harvard Business Review and multiple other sources, that interviews don't necessarily lead to the best hires, right? But I think there's a lot of creatives out there in the world that are getting frustrated or skeptical by the interview process that gives you homework assignments, where you're asked to do free work in order to demonstrate your value. So we know that this is a time-intensive and nuanced process that deserves a lot more thought and consideration than what typical institutions are able to give it. And yet, if you hire an agency to do this kind of work for you, even on a temporary basis, what you're buying is you're buying an institution's time that they will handle the issue of staff turnover. They will handle the professional development. They will handle attenuating to the specific needs of your institution without that learning time that someone needs when they come on board, without that sussing out time, if this is going to be a right fit for you culturally. There's just a lot that having a partner or a vendor relieves you of the burden of. So then what you're doing is managing relationships, which I will give you is another strength to develop and another process to go into, but it frees you with a lot of flexibility to be able to make the right choices now for your institution versus waiting for the right alchemy of people to come together to make something work.
Appendix B is a production of Bravery Media. If you enjoy the show, please consider leaving a rating or a review on your podcast streaming service of choice. It helps other higher ed pros find us. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.